I walk 10 feet away and recheck the amulet's indication, triangulating. The water beetle was the right boat.
Hey, I called out. Ahoy! Thomas!
Silence met my hail. I checked over my shoulder. Elaine had moved away to where she could see the little ship's entire deck while still standing a good 20 feet down the dock from me. What was the military term for that? Establishing a crossfire? Maybe it was creating a defilade. The point being, though, that if anything came gibbering up out of the boat's hold, we'd tear it up between us before you could say boogity-boo. Of course, if anyone on the boat had hostile intent and an ounce of brains, they'd probably realize that too.
Thomas, I shouted again. It's Harry Dresden.
If someone on that boat meant me harm, the smart thing to do would be to stay quiet and tempt me out onto the boat itself. That would minimize my chances of avoiding an attack and give them their best shot at taking me out in a hurry, which is just about the only reliable way to do it when you're dealing with wizards. Give one of us time to catch our breath, and we can be a real handful.
Okay, I said to Elaine, not taking my eyes off the boat. I'm going aboard.
Is that smart?
No, I glanced at her for a second.
No, she admitted.
Cover me.
Cover you? Elaine shook her head, but she let one end of the chain slip loose from her hand and caught it in the other. She took a grip on it, leaving a couple of feet hanging from her left hand. Little flickers of light played along it, subtle enough that I doubted anyone would notice if they weren't looking for it. I thought I was here on a job. Now it turns out I'm half of a buddy cop movie.
Uh-huh, I said. I'm the zany yet lovable one. You're the brainy conservative.
What if I want to be the zany one?
Then you can hop out there on the boat.
Stop throwing the regulations out the window, she said, as if reciting a hastily memorized grocery list. We're supposed to catch the maniacs, not become them. Don't do anything crazy, because I've only got 2.5 seconds to go until I retire.
That's the spirit, I said, and hopped from the dock to the deck of the water beetle.
I crouched, ready for trouble, but nothing came hurtling at me. One of the boats down the dock started up an engine that could not possibly have passed any kind of emissions test, including one for noise. Even so, though, I heard a thumping sound come from below the deck. I froze. But there was no further sound beyond the nearby rumbling engine, which, from the smell of it, was burning a lot of oil. I tried to move silently, pacing around the wheelhouse. It was a tight squeeze between the deckhouse and the rail as I sidled by to peer around the corner and down a short flight of stairs that led into the ship's cabin hold. I was aware of a presence, nothing specific really, beyond a sudden, intuitive certainty that someone was down there and aware of me in return. I could probably dance around, listening and lurking, in hopes of finding some other indication of who was below, but not for long. People would notice me crouching and taking cover on the ship's deck for no apparent reason. Some of them would ignore it. Hell, most of them would ignore it. But inevitably, one of them would think it odd enough to give the cops a ring.
Screw it, I said.
I made sure my duster was covering my back, brought my shield up before me, and stepped quickly down the stairs and into the hold. I had maybe 0.5 seconds of warning when someone came swinging down the stairs behind me. He must have been lying flat and out of sight atop the wheelhouse. I started to turn, but 2 heels hit my right shoulder blade in a double-legged kick and propelled me forcefully down into the hold. The duster was hell on wheels for stopping claws and bullets, but it did me less good against the blunt impact of the kick. It hurt. I threw up my shield in front of me as I fell, and cut it again in an instant, since impacting a rigid plane of force would be much like slamming myself into a brick wall. The fluttering energy of the shield slowed me enough to control my fall and turn it into a roll. I came to my knees facing the stairway as Thomas came hurtling down it with mayhem evidently in mind. He crouched on the stairs, with one of those crooked knives the Gurkhas use, clutched in one fist, and a double-barreled shotgun with maybe 6 inches of barrel left to it in the other and pointed directly at my head. My brother was a little bit shy of 6 feet tall, slim and made out of whipcord and steel cable. His eyes were alight with fury in his pale face, faded from their usual thundercloud gray to an angry metallic silver that meant he was drawing upon his power as a vampire. His shoulder-length dark hair was bound back under a red bandana, and his do still looked more stylish than mine.
"Thomas," I snarled. "Ow! What is wrong with you? You got one chance to surrender, asshole. Drop the spells and face the wall." "Thomas, stop being a dick. I don't need this right now."
Thomas sneered.
"Give it up. It's a good act, but I know you aren't Harry Dresden. There's no way the real Dresden would have come here with a woman like that instead of his dog."